The book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 1. We didn't quite finish this first chapter last time. We actually have one verse left, and then we'll get into chapter 2. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, actually, let's go back. I want to go back and begin reading in verse 28 of Romans chapter 1. Because it all flows together. The Word of God says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." And what are those things? What is a debased mind, according to God? 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. Boy, look how God puts whisperers in the same category as the sexually immoral whispers, talking behind people's back, gossiping. Backbiters, verse 30, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters. Well, I thought that was self-promotion. That's perfectly acceptable today. Not to God. It's still the sin of boasting. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Any parent who allows their child to run wild will answer to God for that. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In this that is described here in verse 32, this is the thing that will seal a sinner's doom. Because notice what God says here. He says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things, things that were described in the previous verses, are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. They applaud others who do it. You know, sinners do not go to hell simply because they sin. If that was the case, no one would be saved because we've all sinned. Sinners go to hell because they sin and because they love their sin too much to repent. They love their sin too much to turn away from it and receive mercy from God through the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why they go to hell. That's why they're in trouble. Chapter 2, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. If I criticize someone for doing something wrong, but I'm guilty of doing the same thing myself, then I am just as sinful as that other person. I'm guilty. And without excuse, because I obviously know that it's wrong. They may be doing it in ignorance, which means they would be less culpable than I am. So I better get my act together before I criticize someone else. 2. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. When it comes to God's judgment, he goes by the book. The book. The Word of God. The Bible. God's Word is truth, and therefore his Word will be the standard by which all words, all actions, and all motives will be judged. 3. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Some people act as if God has a double standard. They seem to think that they are God's pet. He will punish others, but not them, even though they're just as sinful. How people arrive at that conclusion, I don't understand. Maybe because they prayed the sinner's prayer. Maybe because they were baptized. Maybe because they walked an aisle. Who knows? Maybe because they were confirmed. Maybe because they were baptized as a baby. I don't know. There's probably many reasons. But they need to understand that God's judgment is according to truth. And they need to understand that before it's too late. Because hell is real. 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God is not patient with sinners in order to give them more time to sin. His patience is designed to give a person more time to repent. God puts up with many things that he hates in order to give people opportunities to stop doing what he hates and in the process avoid his wrath. Verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath and the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God is patient. He gives sinners time to repent. But if they despise his kindness and use his forbearance as an opportunity to do evil, then the Lord says that they are stockpiling sin and storing up wrath. And I don't want God saying that about me. Because he means business. He doesn't waste words. They are stockpiling sin. They are storing up wrath. For who? For those who despise his kindness and use his forbearance as an opportunity to do evil instead of repent. 6. Who will render to each one according to his deeds? And you can't get any more fair than that, can you? You can't get any more fair than that, rendering each person according to their deeds. Which means that there will be no excuses and no blame shifting on Judgment Day. 7. Here we go. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. We can't work for our salvation. On the other hand, only those who persist in doing good will go to heaven. We can't explain this verse away. And although it's done, it shouldn't be called a problem verse because there are no problem verses in the Bible. God says what he means, and it's up to us to accept it as it is. So let's read this verse again, verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Only those who persist in doing good will go to heaven. We are saved by faith. But if our faith is saving faith, it will be accompanied by good works. It will be accompanied by good works that persevere through hard times and good works that persevere until we die. Verse 8. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what's going to happen to them? Indignation and wrath. And so we see here in verse 8 that God graciously warns us by describing those who will go to hell. Who are those who are going to receive his indignation and wrath? Well, he tells people ahead of time so that if they fit the description, then they have a chance to change if they want to before it's too late, because someday it's going to be too late. And so the Bible is clear. This is what a person who is going to hell lives like. If a person is self-seeking, if they reject God's word, and if they follow after evil, then you better change, or you're going to experience the wrath of God in hell forever. 9. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. Tribulation and anguish. In other words, sinners will be punished if their sins are not forgiven, and their misery is going to last forever. 10. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Salvation cannot be earned by good works, because no one can do enough good works to offset their sin. On the other hand, we see once again that good works go hand in hand with saving faith. And, you know, you just see this throughout the Old Testament. You see it throughout the New Testament. Good works complement salvation. You can't have one without the other. Only in the minds of some modern-day theologians do you have that. And I wouldn't want to base my faith on some modern-day theologian. I want it based on the clear, revealed Word of God, accepted just as it is. 12. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Not having the written law of God, not having the written Word of God, is no excuse for sin. And just having the Word of God, which includes God's law, will not be sufficient to save one soul from hell. Possessing or knowing the Word of God isn't the issue, okay? That's not going to cut it with the Lord. 13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. You know, there are some who believe that since they know what the Bible says, and since they go to church, that they will be saved. But the truth is, knowing what is right without living right is not going to save anyone. Knowing God's Word is just the first step. Knowing the Word of God is an important step, because one cannot be saved without God's Word, but the Word of God must be applied. You know, the Bible says that people should find out what pleases God. And here God tells us that we should find out what pleases Him so that we can do what pleases Him. It's not just enough to know what pleases Him. 14. For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law by nature, do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the Lord written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Those who don't have the written scriptures, but live right because they know it's right, prove that God has built the knowledge of right and wrong into our souls. How else would they know? God holds people accountable for how they respond to that built-in law, even if they don't have the scriptures. 16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Everything everyone ever did, thought, said, and all the motives for all those things will be on the table and judged. The things people do that are hidden from man are not hidden from God. And those hidden things will be brought out into the open and compared to the standard set by the Lord. That is the agenda for Judgment Day. You say, what is the standard? The written Word of God. That's what Jesus said. My Word will judge you in that day.